The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, joins me now. She is in Abu Dhabi today to sign this bilateral extradition treaty with the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. Minister, you're welcome to the show. What can you tell us about this?
Well, good evening, Kieran. So today I met with my colleague, Minister Al-Nawami, who's the Minister for Justice here in the UAE, to sign both treaties. This is a treaty on extradition and a treaty on mutual legal assistance. And what both of these treaties will mean essentially is that we will now have structures in place that didn't exist before to allow for a much quicker and much more efficient process of extradition. If we're trying to bring criminals home who are harbouring or who are in the UAE trying to evade the law, but also it will allow us to have greater cooperation in a number of different areas. So if it's investigations, prosecutions, taking of interviews, search and seizures, criminal assets, all of these other elements, there will be much greater cooperation. So this is a really, really important structure to assist in our quest to deal with and to tackle organised crime, really. And I hope that this, and I know that this will be hugely helpful for our Gardaí. What we've done over the last year is worked on this really positively with the UAE, myself and my counterpart, our Justice Department, but also the Gardaí working with the police here. And I think once this is fully operational, which I hope will be in a matter of weeks, that this will prove really effective in dealing with organised crime and most importantly bringing home people who are wanted for very serious crimes at home.
Yeah, we know Sean McGovern was arrested there last week, Christy Kinahan Sr. and his sons Daniel Kinahan and Christy Jr. all located, we believe, in that part of the world. How much did that provide a specific focus for this work over the last year?
Well, look, it's important to say that this will apply to everybody. So anybody who's committed a crime where there is a penalty of more than a year. So that can be everything from, you know, aggravated burglary, serious assault to attempted murder, murder, and obviously serious financial crime or fraud. So this will apply to everybody. It's not specific to any one individual or any one case. Obviously, we've had significant progress in a number of ways in the last week or two. But what this will mean is that there is an official structure in place that will make it much easier to deal with anybody. And as I said, much easier to bring somebody home, particularly if they feel that just by crossing borders and by going to particular countries, the UAE obviously being the focus here, that they'd be able to evade justice.
How confident are you, though, that other members of the Kinahan cartel will follow Sean McGovern?
Well, look, without, you know, I'm not going to get into details or individuals, but once this is fully agreed, so today I signed the treaties with my colleague in a number of weeks, I'll be bringing this to the Dáil to ratify it. They'll be doing something similar on their side here. It will then be fully operational. And if there is a case for the DPP and she issues direction to charge any individual, if they are not in the country, the Gardaí will seek an arrest warrant from the High Court. And if that's granted, then it's a matter of presenting that to the authorities here. And I have every confidence that they will act in it. And I have to stress this, the cooperation and the engagement that we have had with our counterparts here in the UAE has been absolutely phenomenal. And they are as eager as we are to deal with organised crime, to make sure that they don't, as a country, be seen as a country that would support or harbour anybody who's involved in organised crime. And they're very clear about that. So this has been a really positive relationship and engagement. And obviously, for the future, I think it bodes really well that it's not just about extradition, but also any other kind of case, any other type of investigation. There'll be much closer cooperation between our two countries, between our judicial systems, but also between the Gardaí and their police.
Without kind of betraying the confidence of any meetings you'd have with the Garda Commissioner, with Drew Harris, I mean, what's the sense of how directly involved those senior Kinahans are with the day-to-day running of kind of, you know, business operations, as it were, in this country? Or has that been neutered by all of the work that has been carried out over the last year and beforehand?
Look, I suppose what I can't get into is details on anybody or any cases, but what's very clear is that crime is no longer just based in the country that a person might be in or otherwise. I mean, it has become so transnational, it has become so online, and that is why we have had to expand. That's why in the last year I've approved Garda liaison officers, not just to be situated here in the UAE, but other parts of the world. That's why the Garda Commissioner himself has developed a really positive relationship with the police here in the UAE, but also right across the world. That's why our former assistant commissioner, who sadly passed away recently, John O'Driscoll, was the first to really build up these relationships, in particular with the US. And we have seen in the past number of years how helpful they have been in highlighting particular individuals and I suppose placing an emphasis on them and the desire by all authorities to make sure that people are held accountable. So the transnational nature of crime really has made things more difficult, but it's meant that treaties like this have been really, really important.
But are they still the big threat? Are they still the big threat in terms of drugs importation in Ireland and the distribution, or is it other groups now, like the family and other people you hear about?
Well, look, what's clear is that we have a number of quite significant organised crime groups. There are a number operating, but what's really important is that we don't just, you know, I often hear people say, well, you know, you remove one organised crime group and another takes their place. That should never stop us from putting in place these type of measures. That should never stop us from doing everything in our power to try and to make sure that these people are brought to justice. I mean, the misery that they're causing in our communities, the death and destruction, we see it everywhere. We see it in our towns and villages. We see it with the scourge of drugs. We see it, you know, when you see gangland attacks and feuds taking hold of communities and innocent people getting caught in the crosshairs. So
they wouldn't exist without the demand, though, wouldn't they not? Like, that's what's often kind of forgotten in these conversations, or certainly it's forgotten, maybe not in these conversations, they're not accusing you of it, but kind of people kind of who lament and shake their heads and then do lines of coke at the weekend.
It is. And look, I mean, we have to get back to the fact of, well, where is this coming from? How is it starting? Who's impacted by it? So we can focus on individuals, and we have to, because they're at the very top of the pyramid. But how does it work its way down into our communities? And how do we make sure that those who are responsible for so much of what's happening in our communities are held accountable? But everybody has a personal role there. Everybody has a personal responsibility to exactly what you've said, to understand the implications of their actions. Because so many younger people as well are getting caught up in this. One of the first bills that I've worked on as Minister for Justice was around grooming of children. And this was specifically to acknowledge the fact that there are younger and younger people being dragged into this life, obviously being fed what is essentially a lie in the type of life that they might be able to lead, which certainly turns into something much more sinister very quickly with very little way out for them. So, you know, we have to appreciate and understand that everybody has a role here, but that there are so many different facets to it. But the objective here is to make sure that the people who are at the very top, the people who are trying to evade, who are able to evade the law by simply crossing to another country or another jurisdiction, that they are not left to their own devices, that they're not left to, you know, set up a new life and remove themselves from so much of the misery that they've caused. And that's the whole objective of these treaties here, that we can catch those who are responsible for so much of this harm.
The other news at home that kind of overlaps significantly enough with your own bailiwick is the Dublin Task Force report. What do you say to people today who I guess whose assessment of it has been that, yes, all eminently sensible suggestions, but they feel a little underwhelmed, kind of a lack of blue sky thinking?
Well, the whole objective here really is to look at our city centre, to look at Dublin as a whole as well, and see, well, what can we do to make it the vibrant, wonderful city that we know it is? And I think we all acknowledge, in particular post-COVID, parts of the city have changed. It's not just reflected in Dublin, it's across the world. There are people living different ways. There's less people working in our city centres. The dynamics have changed. So how do we look at that and address it and plan for our cities looking well into the future? So this report, you know, of course it looks at the number of Gardaí that we need or that we should have and the investment there, but it also looks at things like dereliction, it looks at, you know, refuge waste, lighting, it looks at the number of vulnerable services that we have in our city centre, it looks at the types of enterprises, it looks at all
of these. But you hardly needed a task force to do that, did you?
Well, I think
What did you read in that task force report that you thought, God, I hadn't thought of that?
Well, what we have now is, for the first time in black and white, these are the challenges.
Nothing is the answer. Come on. I don't expect you to say it, but the answer is nothing. There's no way you read anything in that you hadn't thought of before. More Gardaí in the street, more people living in the city centre, more cultural spaces in the centre, better and safer public transport. I mean, there's not a TD in the Dáil who hasn't thought of these things.
But the difference here is we have a plan. and the plan will be actioned on. And you might say, well, why didn't we do it before now? There's lots of things that are happening, and there's actions even in this that are already progressing, be it through Dublin City Council. When you look at this, a huge amount of the focus and a huge amount of the actions will connect with and relate to Dublin City Council. But we do need to sometimes sit down and look at the city as a whole, the plans as a whole. How do we integrate them? How do we make them work? And how do we have everyone working together and at the same time and in tandem? And that's a really important next step. We have the report, but how do we make sure that all of the elements of it are implemented and that they work together? And that's what's not been done before. So I appreciate some of these issues are not new. I mean, you know, I fully agree with the fact that we need more Gardaí, not just in Dublin, but right across the country. And that's been a key priority for me. But how do we then that marry that with all of the other elements of this? So, you know, I think it's really positive. It's what people have been asking for. Mm. You know, those who have been most critical, this is what they've been looking for. And the most important thing now is that we action it. And the Taoiseach has been very clear. There will be a committee set up with all of the key actors here, including myself, my own department and the Gardaí, looking at how do we implement these actions and how do we make it work. We want a plan for our city, not just for the next few years, but for the next 10, 20, 30 years. How do we make it as vibrant as it can be? How do we make it a place where everybody wants to live and to work and to be a part of.
I should have started the interview by congratulating you on your elevation to deputy leader of the party. So when should I put the mortgage on a general election, the 29th?
Look, I think everybody has their own view as to when.
We'll know tonight, won't we? I mean, those three fellas can't keep a secret.
Well, look, I think what all three have indicated and the Taoiseach has indicated is that we will most likely have an election this side of Christmas. It is, of course, the Taoiseach's prerogative to decide when, but he will do it, of course, in consultation with our government partners and colleagues. But I do think we'll probably know soon enough.
Listen,
and obviously, we're working away in the meantime and getting work done before then.
Very finally, and before I let you go, we're going to be talking about it after the break, so I'll ask. I mean, how would you feel about describing Gerry Hutch as a fellow TD?
I think everybody has a right to, or I mean, it's up to an individual if they want to put themselves forward. But, you know, this job comes with a lot of scrutiny in many different formats. And I think anybody putting themselves forward would need to think about that. Kieran, if I could just for a second, very briefly, we lost somebody today in County Louth, Michael Reid, who would have been a fellow reporter like yourself, and he's been an LMFM for over 20 years. And I just want to acknowledge his passing, because he's somebody we've all locally worked very closely with for a long time, and just to pay my respect to Michael and indeed my condolences to all of his family as well.
Yeah, very well said. Minister, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.